We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Denver Sports Podcast this lovely Friday in the Mile High City. Mere hours before the Nuggets take on the Heat in Miami for Game 4, I am your host, Andre Simone. We are presented by Breckenridge Brewery, Avalanche's Amber Ale, right there in the bucket. That's the man of the hour, the man of the last 2 months, Adam Morris. That's right.
I thought it was Jokic, but I'll take it. You know what? He's second, right?
In these offices, it's you're the closest we can get. Jokic doesn't like the media. He's never going to come around and talk to us. So.
It's weird being in this chair. I don't know if I've ever done a show from right here.
Is that right?
Been right there.
Yeah, what about when you make vote? Host once a year.
Not when I'm there.
No,
not when I'm there.
Wow. I saw it once.
Because you always get like the solo chair too.
I'm telling you, it's a weird chair.
Yeah. You look too big for the couch.
I am too big for it.
Yeah. Were you meant to share a couch?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, and the man put in a unique position of sharing a couch with Mr. Adam Mars, rocking his Jokic jersey, Henry Chisholm, DMVR Broncos. Hankster, how are you doing?
Real good. There's actually two strange situations that I'm in.
Oh,
the
my
other
gosh.
Is that I never got the rundown. So
I texted it to you 2 days ago.
No, I said you didn't. And then you said, well, look. And I looked and you didn't. And then I still didn't get it.
Huh. Well, think on your feet today, youngin.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm excited. This is intentional
now. That's right. This is going to be good. As I mentioned, full-blown finals time right now, and to take you a little behind the curtain, Adam and I, as we will from time to time, thinking through what to cover on this podcast this week, we really kind of touched on Heat culture versus Nuggets culture, a we don't skip steps, as we have coined it around these parts. Actually, a championship culture that kind of has a bit of a renewal today as... In the midst of an NBA Finals, the Nuggets front office makes a very intriguing move to add some more picks, some more assets for the future. But yeah, these two championship cultures, if we could call them that, Nuggets do not have their championship yet.
Not yet.
How would you define these? Heat culture versus don't skip steps.
Well, I'll start by saying I honestly think that these are the two best cultures in the NBA this year. Now, Heat culture has been a thing. Really, it's Pat Riley culture, I think.
Yeah,
right. Miami Heat had a different culture before he arrived. He's an institution in and to himself, and he brings those things with him and who he hires and how he runs the operation. But they have been at this. But when you just look at this year, a lot of teams have changed their culture to chase the super team era. We have a culture in place, but the superstar's available.
Right.
Punt on all of that. Bring in this guy. Now we have a new culture. What do you know? It's stars. I'm talking about you, Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm.
They had a nice, young, developmental team, and they made it, you know, pretty deep. They traded it in for Kevin Durant. A smart, calculated risk, but it punched your culture. Denver, we don't skip steps. They had a long-term vision. They have a player who sets the culture as much as any, a coach who sets the culture as much as any.
That's huge.
And to be honest with you, and people don't want to hear it, they have an ownership group that sets the culture in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. as much as any. And this year, if you just took this year, I think these two teams had the best culture, and they deserve it to be there.
And the other team that always comes to mind is the Warriors and their culture. But then Draymond punched the guy, and then all of a sudden the culture's just gone. And didn't he even say on his podcast afterward,
not
like,
so great.
It was like a hit to the team that happened. A hit to the team. It's one of the things that he says held him back long term. All of a sudden that culture is maybe not gone, but
we have
it changes.
We have a good culture here at DNVR. Oh. I think we have a good time. Yeah. We enjoy people's company. We're in a bar. If I were to just cold clock you in the face to where you passed out, and then on top of that, it went viral.
Oh,
you'd probably be a little uncomfortable sharing a couch with me. And, you know?
Well, then everybody else would be like, oh, I hope he doesn't punch me. Yeah, and then around me, they'd be like, oh, there's that softy who got himself punched.
Well, and the unspoken part of that is I think Jordan Poole's teammates generally don't like him. So there's this like he's the guy that got punched. And while that wasn't fair, I mean, are we surprised?
Exactly.
You know, like, so you're right, man. That's the thing. I know we'll get to it, but mm-hmm. cultures are so fragile. But you asked me the two best ones. I think they're in the finals.
Yeah, and that's interesting. And I don't know that the Nuggets have ever gotten that recognition necessarily of being one of the tippy top cultures.
Have they ever had it?
In the NBA. I don't know. I mean, I think since Masai Ujiri has been in this front office, they definitely seem to have some fairly bright minds building up this franchise. Obviously, you have a 2-year Brian Shaw lull from
Masai
to now.
But that was Tim Conley.
Masai
was so short. I mean, he was really the post-Melo. Would you call that a culture? You know, it was a collection of talent. To me, it felt like a gathering of guys less than like a long-term vision or a long-term plan. Maybe some of this is hindsight. Is 2020. Mm-hmm, right. But even George Karl, you know, I always think back to Wilson Chandler when he was here. I asked him one time about what his conversations were like with George Karl when he's coach. He said, I never talked to him before.
Uh-huh.
And he coached him. He just never talked to him. They did practice, so you talk. But they never talked.
I never talked to him.
So, again, every coach has their different pluses and minuses or things they do. But I just don't know that the culture of that era, to me, was the Thuggets, which was to say it wasn't really like a culture. You know, there was a coolness to them and this or that, but I don't know that it was like a, hey, this is who we are.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, at least most of the Jokic era, and maybe this is being biased because I've been a Nuggets fan, it's felt like the Nuggets have a great culture. Like, you see them on the bench, and it seems like everybody's getting along great, and they're having fun together, and the personalities mesh well, and they send out the clips in the locker room, and maybe, I don't know. Now that we're at the point where we're saying this culture really is obviously one of the very best in the NBA, I kind of think that it's been there for the last 3, 4, maybe 5 years.
Sure. I mean, look, I think that is true. The culture starts with Nikola Jokic. I mean, it's cliche to say, and it can be overstated. He has his flaws. Let's not kid ourselves. But one of his biggest strengths is that he's so low maintenance, and that is so rare in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need a lot of accolades. He doesn't need the coach that's constantly banging the drum. He doesn't need any of those things. He constantly refers to Jamal Murray as our best player, which he's the only person on the world that's willing to pretend that.
I know.
And so it comes from him, I think, first and foremost. But then you have Michael Malone, who, if you didn't have him, if you had this like brainiac coach who was like Jokic, I consider him a brainiac basketball player. If you had somebody like that, there would be a huge vacuum for toughness, for leadership, for all these things. Michael Malone fills that void. He is the drill sergeant that almost like yin and yang fits what Jokic doesn't have perfectly and plays those notes. And then, of course, like I said earlier, the Kroenkes, who I don't give them credit for establishing the culture of this team in any way except for one.
They shouldn't.
They stayed out of the way.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
What is Dallas's culture? I don't know. It's whatever Mark Cuban decides it is because he's constantly in it.
Yep.
But with the Kroenkes, he hired people and he's like, I don't know, Malone. I don't know, Jokic. You guys determine what the culture is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, while I've been thinking this through for the last couple of days, I really think culture, as much as... And we'll get into this in a second. Other great cultures talk about, you know, like Hank, you've seen some wacky cultures in your time covering football in the States for DNVR. Oddly, though, in studying some of the better examples of this, it kind of feels like coaching is the least important. And it really is management. And Heat and Nuggets are a great example because Riley setting the tone on one end, and you know, even Spoelstra is a guy who he knows and was part of kind of the staff when he was coaching and came up, or it's the ownership, and it can be, you know, there's great ownerships that give you all the resources and kind of are the drivers locally. Think of like Pat Bowlen. And there's some that just hands off, no pressure, let you do your thing because you've got the right, you know, the right mindset to come through things. And I mean, the Nuggets timeline is unlike any other one because they were able to build it so organically, so one step at a time, without having to force a move, without having to force kind of a timetable, that they're really in a unique spot in NBA history, I think.
And by the way, way more rewarding, if you ask me.
No kidding.
Yeah. I always think about this. Like, what did the Lakers get in their LeBron title versus what will Denver get if they should finish this off and get their own title? Lakers fans were so into Lonzo Ball, D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram. They called him the greatest young core the NBA has ever seen.
I forgot about that.
Guess what? We'll never know. I'm going to say I don't think it's true, but we'll never know. Now, they got a title and they won, so what, you know, there's nobody's crying over there. But at the same time, if Denver would have done that same thing and cashed the chips in, won a title, but then had this team that's kind of like, I don't know, it wouldn't have felt like whatever it is that we're getting right now. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is part of what makes the Nuggets experience so special. But before we go all in on Kroenke appreciation, I do think they deserve a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And we'll give them
I'm
a lot.
All in on the Kroenkes.
But one thing I will say, we've had all these Aussies fly into town over this last week. We've had all these people from out of the state. One thing they keep saying is, I thought I'd see more billboards. I thought I'd see more Nugget stuff. And that's the thing about the Kroenkes. They stay out of the way in all aspects, including in the parts where you're like, hey, man, this is supposed to be fun. Yep. Make the whole city blue right now. Nah, they're not.
Mm-hmm. It's it's just so frustrating because I get what they're thinking. They're thinking, oh, well, we're going to sell out all of our tickets.
True.
Why are we advertising we're in the playoffs?
True.
Because it looks cool for all of us to see Nuggets things everywhere. Yeah. Like, turn people into Nuggets fans. Yeah. And they do miss that. But, I mean, I don't have many bad things to say about the Kroenkes. Like, they brought a Stanley Cup here last year. They're 2-1 right now in the finals. Like, I can't ask for anymore. Like, oh, they didn't get the Nuggets their own practice facility. Would have been cool. Would have been cool and still could be cool. You're right here, though. And if they close the deal, I don't care about a practice facility. All I care about is wins.
Well, and that's the other thing. I think as much as ownership matters, star players make all the difference. Because when there's a selfless leader, when there's someone who leads by example, like Jokic, like Jimmy Butler to some extent, it's so much easier to follow that than more of a philosophy that's written on the wall, you know?
And one of the things that's interesting about this is the Heat culture and Nuggets culture have a lot of similarities, but they also have a lot of differences. So this was Nuggets culture is this like unselfishness, long-term vision, you know, all of those different things. And also, I think, you know, when you have a lot of good young players, like they all compete with each other and they become the best version of themselves.
Definitely.
With Miami, there's... allegedly, they are the strictest about your diet and different. Like some places, you see a player, and they even here in Denver. Let's not kid ourselves. Guys fluctuate, and guys aren't having a good day. Miami Heat culture is very, very military-like. Where I'm told Pat Riley will pinch your belly coming into training camp, and just to let you know, like, yo, what's this fat I'm feeling on you?
Uh-huh.
What are you doing over here, Jigglypoo? Like he'll do the thing where he's trying to like. No, that's not what we do here. Oh, you carry a little bit of extra weight in the offseason? We're trading you to Charlotte. Get out of here, man.
So their
culture is a lot more intense, and this is why Jokic is the perfect guy for Denver culture, and the team is an extension of his identity. Miami is an extension of Pat Riley, but also Jimmy Butler. That's why he is such a great Heat. And I talked to some of my Heat friends who thinks that he is a bigger Heat legend than LeBron James.
He should be.
I mean, first of all, he has like 7 of the 10 best playoff games according to GameScore, which is really crazy.
Which is crazy.
Dwayne Wade, LeBron James.
Crazy.
But also, he embodies more so than LeBron, but for sure, he embodies the Pat Riley culture of like, no, man, he just messes with his teammates. He calls them out. We all know he does scrimmages where he's MFing all these guys and making them feel small because he's testing them. That's Heat culture.
And in Minnesota, they told him that was a bad thing.
Get out of here. That's not Minnesota culture.
Yeah, we aren't doing that.
Right. We're losers. Right. What are you bringing that winner stuff to us?
Can't do that to Big Purr.
Ultimate example of culture right there is when you have a dog like that, if your culture is against that, then maybe you've got a culture problem.
You would think. You would think that that'd be obvious.
But you know what's funny is everybody misread that one. And the line, well, I will say this.
Yeah,
the line between, this is true in business as it is true in everything. The line between genius and crazy person is so thin. You know, like a lot of your like Fortune 500 CEOs are, you hear him interviewed and you're like, are you crazy? I mean, Elon Musk. right, you hear this guy, you're like, wait, this guy's crazy. He's insane. But that line is so thin. And with Jimmy Butler, the people 4 years ago saying, hey, this guy's a cancer, they weren't wrong in some ways.
Yeah.
But if you have the right culture to absorb that crazy, takes you to the next level.
But then you also, I mean, Sixers are another soft team. Like, they just want to, I mean, you got the Embiid, Ben Simmons stuff. Like, there's those hard examples. Yeah. There's also just the way they play. The fact that Jimmy Butler didn't fit in Minnesota or Philly, but fits in with the Heat, like, it just makes sense.
You're right. What does it tell you? It tells you
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that makes you wonder. You know, there were the Jimmy Butler Nuggets. I don't know if they ever got to rumors, but it was a thing that people wanted because he was available every year for, like, that three-year stretch.
Yeah.
You wonder what would have happened. Like, what if they did make the Gary Harris, Jimmy Butler? And you probably have to give up more than Gary. Like, you might have to include
Jamal. I don't remember at the time what it was, but yeah.
I'm curious what that would have looked like.
I do wonder what the billboard situation's like in Miami for the Heat.
Hmm.
I wonder if that city's all in. Because, you know, game three, it really struck me how empty that arena was to start the game up. And that's where the Nuggets go on a run.
Right, you're right.
You know? You know, the culture can be great organizationally, but that doesn't mean the city or the fans will maybe fit that 100%.
It's crazy. We get the one mural, and every Nuggets fan takes a picture with it. Like, imagine if there were five of those. There's like billboards everywhere. Like, it'd be incredible. You'd go on a tour. You'd spend your Saturday just wandering around looking at all the stopping at the stands, going and taking pictures of the murals. It'd be incredible.
And some of that, like, that's detour, right? That's not the Nuggets. That's detour. So there is some part of, like, if Denver wins this year, I just think the Nuggets imprint on the city is up forever. Mm-hmm. Like, it just raises in a way. But I do also think, but for me, it's more about what are the Nuggets themselves doing to promote this team in a way that they're just in your face nonstop.
Yep.
And we'll see.
And part of the reason they're up forever, I mean, people don't love the Broncos because they had, like, the 24-month stretch where they were awesome. And it's the same thing here where it's not going to be 3 months. Well, you've got five more years, you hope, with a similar sort of team where even if they're not ever this good again, it's still Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray and hopefully AG and MPJ. And it's the same faces that everybody loves, and everybody will keep going because they'll have a chance every year with that group because we know that they can make it this far.
You said five more years? They traded for a 2029 pick. That's 6 years, so we'll see.
You're right.
That pick would go based on what the record is five seasons from now.
Yeah, that's five years.
So he's on the money. You might also be gambling that your pops need some help with some male grooming this Father's Day, and that's where you go to manscaped.com.
That's quite the gamble.
Use that code DMV. Yeah, no, if your dad's like me, too locked in on the Nuggets, not enough on their male grooming, so they'll be very appreciative.
Classic Mr. Simone.
Got an eyebrow hair gone crazy, got a nose hair sticking out. He's too locked in on the Nuggets and what that 2024 first round with the Heat, with the Thunder protections will look like. Well, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Go to manscaped.com, use that code DNVR to get 20% off plus free shipping. Henry, you're a huge fan of their crop preservers and anti-chafe devices because you're a big golfer. And as we all know, out on the golf course, you're sweating, you got manscaped up, you know, you're pickaxing your body hair because you're all in on this Nuggets run, right? You just try to maxi the minor design that didn't work out for you. But now it's 4 hours in. You're sweating the Breck brew you're having at the course, and you are so happy you applied that crop preserver and anti-chafing.
You definitely are.
That's, I mean, Manscaped, man. They're protecting you every which way. Manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping when you use that code DNVR. Great deal for Father's Day or maybe for the person in your life that could use a little male grooming help. Check it out. And then also our homies at Game Time, where right now if you use code DNVR, you can get $20 off on your first purchase. kind of clutch these days because obviously these NBA finals prices are bananas.
What would you guess is the cheapest seat you can get right now?
For tonight?
For game five.
Yeah, for game five. I already looked it up, so you need to tell us, Henry.
$1,100
price. Cheaper than that.
Okay.
$963 at this very moment.
Wow.
Yeah, on game
those
good
are climbed.
Oh, wait. Maybe I did this wrong. No, I think that's right. No, I did it right.
Yeah, you could still find some tickets for under $1,000. Now, if they were to lose today, I think those prices would go down even further. But obviously, game five,
if
Nuggets,
they win, they go
Heat.
Up.
If they win, they'll go way up because you in attendance at game five could, in fact, be there to witness history. Yes. Witness them raising the chocolate trophy, as my five-year-old would call it. Game time, game of the week, baby. Game five in Denver, where you can still find tickets for under $1,000. Of course, Game Time specializes in last-minute deals. And, you know, if game five's a little too expensive, you want to just come to the DMVR bar and check it out. They have you covered on all sports, sporting events in Denver and otherwise, you want to watch a cheap Rapids Rockies game this summer, they have you covered. Check them out. Download the Game Time app. Use that code DMVR for $20 off that first purchase and see what you can get on our Game Time Game of the Week Game 5 tickets in Denver, baby. All right. Talked about this finals matchup. Other great championship cultures that stand out to you, Hank, that are kind of along those lines. We are talking, you know, Patriots way is one that stands out. But again, it's like, you know, it's interesting analyzing the Spurs, the Patriots way, the two you would have highlighted 5 years ago. But funny how you lose a Tim Duncan, you lose a Tom Brady, all of a sudden your championship culture doesn't go as far. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've got us covered on the football side. Who would stand out to you as a...
I mean, the Patriots is the big one.
Yeah.
But like you said, they've kind of dropped off. Outside of that, like, I guess the Chiefs now, but is that culture or is that just being really good? You know?
Yeah, that's just being good. Exactly. I don't think of Chiefs culture.
I don't think of, like... No,
I don't even know what it is.
You maybe you throw the Steelers in there.
Yeah, I would.
But again,
there's
like,
a longevity there that's pretty
exactly.
unique.
There's no losing seasons. But again, like you're not reaching the peaks.
The Steelers are interesting because they almost have a team brand identity. Yep. And this has happened with a lot of different teams over the years, but it always drops off. And I feel like it maybe hasn't dropped off. Some of this is just the coaches, right? They've gotten coaches back-to-back. Well, coaches that kind of have the same, like...
Yeah,
intentionally.
That's true.
Their culture, though, is really longevity.
Yes.
Sustainability. It's something we didn't mention in Nuggets and Heat, but aren't those two of the most longest-tenured coaches in the league? You
right,
know?
Yep. That's,
I mean, longest-tenured front offices. We're so quick to react in a couple losing seasons. Okay, cut the cord. Let's start that over. But you do that too often... Things start to, then you really struggle to even have a culture of any type. And you've seen it kind of with the Broncos, Heat. Hank, I called you Heat. That's
No, I mean, there was a culture shift. I've seen three practices now with Sean Payton in charge instead of Nathaniel Hackett. It is not the same.
Really?
It is very obviously not the same.
Now wait, getting, walk me through it.
Yeah, what's
so the
out?
The issue is we're not allowed to say anything. This is part of the culture, actually.
How media is?
Oh, yeah, we're not allowed to say anything. Like, at all. So it used to be like, oh, Jerry Jeudy just caught a 70-yard pass over whoever. It was a post route, and it was against zone defense, and Russ threw it, and it was a little bit... Now you can't say any details about plays.
You can't report on anything.
No, you can't even have your phone out at practice. I've seen people try to pull their phone out and be told, put that away. You can pull it out after practice. Like, and again...
Not bad.
It's kind of ironic that I can't tell you too much. Oh, it does suck, but...
Sounds a little
that's
Heat
the culture. That's the culture. That's what he wants, and... There is a, it's an us versus the media thing, which, again, annoying for me personally. It's a total 180 from last year, which didn't work, though, and you've seen it work in other places. It's very much that Heat-type culture, the Patriots-type culture, just military-type, right. We're going to do this way. That's how we do it.
On the basketball side, others that stand out to you? I know when we were talking off-air, we came up with a few fun ones.
Well, so you mentioned Spurs, which similar, like, you know, not interested in the media. But again, the Tim Duncan thing looms large.
Yeah.
The one that I think is most interesting historically is, if you think about Jerry Buss's Showtime Lakers culture, they had a culture, but it wasn't, usually when we're talking about culture, we're disciplined and this or that. They went the other way, you know, in the 80s. A little more of a carefree hair metal era, you know, like a little bit more of, I think everybody just wants fun. And you're in Los Angeles. It became Hollywood culture.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood's nowhere near the Forum, right? But nonetheless, it became this idea of, hey, it's movie stars. There's a club. Mm-hmm. We got Magic Johnson, who is, you know, with everybody. So I think that that's another way that you can have culture. And by the way, it might be, I hate to give Lakers credit for anything.
Sure.
That might be the best branding in the history of sports because it still lingers.
Oh, yeah.
The Lakers go through ups and downs and people still want to play for them because of this. I mean, a lot of it's just location.
Yeah.
But the brand was built up in the 70s and 80s as that being this like club, the funnest team to play for with the biggest fans and the prettiest girls. It's like, even though like the idea of the Laker girls, I think was revolutionary in the 70s and stuff is this thing. So they had their own culture that they established that, in my opinion, is now dead because Jerry Buss was the one who really started that.
No.
And now, obviously, it's hard to continue that even when it's just generational with your children or whatever. But that's a culture that we don't think of it, but it is the same thing.
And that's a lot like the Yankees, where it's like there's a difference between being an MLB player and being a New York Yankee.
Right,
like it's just a totally different. It's the same thing. Where it's like kids grow up to be a Laker.
Yours is more though like that. That one is I think the opposite of cool. So like with Lakers, the idea was, you know, it was flashy and fun and like break the rules.
Yep.
With the Yankees, it was like you need to shave your beard because we don't do beards here, which is like the ultimate lame.
So weird. I know the lamest.
Yeah.
Those are both great brands though, and in some ways, while the culture has fluctuated, the brand has tried to maintain a certain standard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, again, where the Broncos have kind of struggled, right? Like, that brand requires a certain standard, but those standards have definitely fluctuated quite a bit.
And in the NFL, you get a lot of, like, schematic culture. Like, you brought up the Steelers. They've run that same, like, 3-4 zone blitz defense for 40, 50 years at this point. You know, the 49ers have that same West Coast offense that they've run for forever. The Broncos had the revolutionary sort, the Shanahan version of the West Coast offense, which is now what everybody basically runs. It's been updated a little bit, but they went away from that and decided we're going to do different things. They bring in Nathaniel Hackett, who's that wide zone West Coast type of offense. You say, oh, this is the Broncos culture back. This is what we do. It's Terrell Davis. It's the smaller lineman who can get out in space and hit guys. And it obviously didn't work, but I think that the Broncos might have kind of lost something in getting away from what the Denver Broncos are at that point.
Well, this is why it's
really
culture and identity kind of go hand in hand. They're different things, but I have down on here some negative examples of this. The 76ers process as a contrast to the Denver Nuggets is we don't skip steps is very interesting.
Yeah.
I actually think that the process, the idea of we're going to lose on purpose and be as bad as we can be, had a natural endpoint that they sort of arrived at. Now, could they have won a title? Probably. I mean, a pick here or there went a different way. They kind of abandoned the Sam Hinkie philosophy early. But one reason that I think it's more likely than people think that it would have always just reached whatever conclusion we're in is accountability is such a huge part of pro sports, especially in the NBA when you're trying to build around 17, 18, 19-year-olds to start. And if you get a culture in for those guys early on, that is saying like, hey, we're trying to lose and we're kind of gaming the system and we're doing all these different things. As subtle though they may be, I think they lead to a team that is constantly trying to game the system. Players that are known. I mean, what are James Harden?
They flop.
They're just known for trying
to
game the system. And then on top of that, and I'm not just trying to rag on Joel Embiid because I really do like enjoy him as a player. I'm not one of the guys that just loves to do the like Jokic and Embiid nonstop stuff. But one thing about it is he really did blame his teammates after every loss over the last three or 4 years. He always would go to the paleo team and the coach this and the players this. And I always think that is the fully grown oak tree that was planted when it was, hey, we're just trying to lose and there's nothing else. It grew into that. Denver was different. Maybe some of this is by luck because I don't know that it was the Cronkies that are like, no, tanking is bad. I think they were more like, I just don't want to be bad for too long. We want to make money here.
Right.
True.
But whatever it was, Denver never went through that with Jokic at least. They always were just trying to improve and the culture was set early.
Well, and you even look at the Game 82 season where they don't make the playoffs, which wound up being like a decent thing for them. They get Michael Porter Jr. with the draft pick.
Yeah.
But and you have the Mavericks this year who say, we might be able to make it in. We might not. Let's just punt, though, and get the draft pick.
Let's tank to get that 10th pick. No protect. Or, you know, then it doesn't defer to the Bulls or whoever it was going
to. And so for the Nuggets, a different ownership group or a different front office might have said, you know what, even if we make the playoffs, we're taking on the number one seed. Is that really worth it? Let's last 2 months. Let's get the young guys in. Let's see if we can get a better draft pick. And they didn't do that.
That's so interesting you say that, because the example that came to me that's like the Sixers was the Houston Astros in baseball.
Right, yeah.
Who, you know, those guys that were part of that core after tanking never had to really tank on the field because they're playing in the minors. Mm-hmm. But that's the team that was caught cheating, right? There is this, there is this culture of like, we can game the system. We can we can skip steps. We can cut some corners. And I mean,
It's like the game is the game, man. Just go out there and play. And like, the more you get into these, like, you're like, are we even playing sports anymore? Or are we like strategizing a
Like actually losing is good. You gotta change your mentality. And the other great example is the Rockets now. Where I really think that core the Rockets have created is kind of disgusting and not great. The other thing that came to mind with this was how much of a unique example Riley and the Heat are, and how often we try, like Phil Jackson, the executive of the Knicks, disaster. Bill Parcells in football, right? We've tried that a million times as like team president. It's never as successful as Bill Parcells, simply the head coach. Works out, right? Rick Riley's that one example of kind of that driving big name at the tippy top that has maintained standards and kind of kept up some sustained success. This Often is, that looks good on paper, it doesn't quite work out that way, right?
This is probably a horrible thing to say. Eric Spoelstra is a great coach, obviously, and like easily unanimous best coach in the league, all that. You know, there's the Brady-Belichick thing where Brady leaves and it turns out Belichick wasn't that good. With Pat Riley, what if it's a Pat Riley thing? Again, well, I don't want to slander Spoelstra, but if we're talking about it.
The reason I'll push back on this is where ownership, management, and coaching rarely align.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of having a good culture. While you might be right that if Riley left, they would lose something because he's so important to something that he's bringing. Maybe it's the talent. Maybe it's the culture, this or that. Spoelstra's a great coach. He's just a great mind. But he is enabled to be what he is because of Riley. And I always think back to, people don't remember this, but Miami Heat, the Heatles with LeBron started 9-8, I believe, or 8-9. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
And in one of those games when they're losing and everybody's kind of shocked that it wasn't working immediately, LeBron bumps into Spoelstra like on purpose. Kind of almost gives him a little shoulder check. And we now later know that there were rumblings of LeBron trying to say, get this guy out of here. Like, we need a better coach than this. And Pat Riley said, that's my guy. And he said that to the best player in the world and maybe the best player of all time in the height of his prime. Yep. He said, I would rather lose you than lose my coach here.
Yep.
That, to me, is what you would lose if you lost Riley. Yep. Like, that is why Spoelstra is allowed to be such a great coach. And when you said game 82, it's the same. Malone has told the story, but a lot of owners would fire their coach when they lost that game.
Definitely.
They didn't. They came down and said, hey, we're sticking to this. This was a step. Next year will be even better. And because of that, Malone has grown into, in my opinion, one of the elite coaches. I don't know that he always was, but I think he's grown into it.
Longevity, allowing those guys to fail on the job really leads to that. And I would have been one of the dummies who would have been all for them firing Michael Malone after game 82. I was kind of out on him. And in retrospect, I'm so happy they did not.
And can I give another example here? Please. The Warriors are interesting to me, the Golden State Warriors, because Steph Curry is like Jokic, one of the easiest superstars to build around because he is not doing the LeBron thing where he's like, hey, you should trade for my friends. You should do this or that. He largely just plays the game, and he is a collaborative blogger. Collaborative superstar.
Yeah.
One of my friends changed and became collaborative blogger because of that. Collaborative superstar, which people made fun of him for saying, you know, 10 years ago.
Right,
what kind of superstar is collaborative? Turns out a great one that wins four championships. Yeah. But the interesting thing for them is they have a great owner, but he is a meddler. And they had a very good GM, and they had a star player. And at their best, those three all aligned.
Yep.
But over the last several years, and maybe Kevin Durant was the wrench that just threw everything out of control. Maybe it probably was. It was probably more hubris than anything. But those three guys did not become aligned as time went on.
Yeah.
And they still won a championship. That's how great Steph and Draymond Green are. But it seems to be unraveling for them a little bit. We'll see what happens this summer. But it seems to be unraveling for them. And I think some of that, I mean, Bob Myers quit.
Bob Myers
has quit. Yeah. And I mean, you don't quit when you're happy, right? Mm-hmm. So those things have unraveled. So great cultures, they sometimes expire.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me a bit of the Patriots, as there was kind of a rift between ownership, Brady and Belichick a little bit, you know, and it's why like the Avs championship run last year, and Joe Sakic has been such a gift and huge driving force for that team. Speaking of the Avalanche, Breckenridge Brewery's Avalanche Amber Ale, a classic amber ale, got some hints of chocolate, caramel malts. It's well-rounded. It's a flavorful beer. Can't wait for the fall to come around, though. Geez, the weather we've had lately, it feels almost like fall. So it's a great time. Big back porch guy these days, especially with the rain. An Avalanche Amber Ale, definitely the way to go. Obviously, Strawberry Sky, go with the lager if you can find it. A little, their nuggets, Mile High City Copper is always a good one.
Golden Ale.
Golden Ale. Thank you. But Avalanche Amber Ale, check out Breckenridge Brewery. Check out the old beer locator and find a Breck brew near you to enjoy this summer. Henry, favorite road trip gas station snack? When you stop at a Circle K and you're on the road. Recently went to Montana. I'm assuming you didn't drive, though.
No, didn't drive. Wow, you really sound like you want a specific thing from me.
You really don't have anything that you like to snack on?
I like those little donuts, but I know they're horrible for me, so I never get them.
Those are the
little Hostess? Powdered sugar donuts. Yeah.
Hostess donuts?
Yeah.
DNVR, those are phenomenal.
They're great.
Huge fans of corn nuts. Really? Corn nuts are having a moment on these Circle K reads.
Really?
Wow. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, Schwann, man, AJ.
Take that one L, I guess. I mean, we're not a perfect company.
Wow, yeah.
What's your go-to, Adam?
Yeah, I'll get a candy bar, you know. Maybe a beef jerky. If I'm on a road trip, I don't mind a little beef jerky.
Getting jerky. Even like some sunflower seeds are good. Yeah. It can be tough. Like, it's got to be windows down. If you can go windows down, but that's rare in Montana.
I'll either go with some hard candy. A good Jolly Rancher will keep my mouth busy.
Yep. That's the thing about candy bars. Just goes so fast. Yeah, yeah.
Or a good gummy, you know, a sucker for a good Haribo gummy, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. So Circle K, they've always got me covered. I punch in my phone number to get whatever discounts they're offering. Just the perfect place to stop and get snacked up this summer. Thanks to Circle K for sponsoring DMVR. Visit your near Circle K to pick up all your favorite finds. Apparently not corn nuts for these guys. So.
No.
Henry, you mentioned it a little bit, but yeah, sports championship cultures here in Denver sports, you've been exposed to quite a different one than the one you were covering last year at the Valley for the Broncos.
It's been a bunch of wild cultures for me. So Montana, we'll keep this one short. The year I covered them, it's when they brought back the like Hall of Fame coach that they had, who, because of scandals and things, had to leave to go. I guess he wound up taking the job to be the coach at like San Diego State or one of those, New Mexico State, one of those. But he came back, and so that was like a crazy, again, just like military hard-nosed culture. Yeah. To then going to CU with Mel Tucker, which was another very unique culture. He was the culture. He just wanted people to look at his shoes, and he was gonna go say, "Oh yeah," like he just wanted people to say good things. Well, what people don't know is that Mel Tucker's favorite person in the world is Deion Sanders. Like, that's who he modeled everything after. So they're kind of just going back to what they had before.
That's crazy. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
That.
Now X's and O's wise, obviously you take Mel, just because of his background, but that was a lot of it. It's the flash and I can recruit and all that sort of stuff. And then you go from that to Carl Durrell, which there's a full 180. Durrell was at Broncos practice yesterday. I didn't get a chance to say hi, but he was there. But
what was that culture?
That's
take a nap at two.
He wants kind of the underdog, which sounds crazy because like it just sounds like you want bad players and then be good. But that honestly kind of was a strategy. He'd tell the story about his time at UCLA when he recruited Matthew Slater and was able to turn Matthew Slater into like a 15-year like special teams player for the Patriots. So again, like just not really that. But so it's a lot of that sort of stuff. Like Mercedes Lewis was his guy, like a big blocking tight end.
Okay.
So yeah, so that was kind of interesting. And then to Hackett, who just wants to be silly, wants to be everybody's friend, knows his X's and O's, but then as soon as he made a couple bad decisions, he got way too conservative and just got kind of scared. And then Sean Payton, who's just... Sean Payton, there's nobody like him. I mean, who even is like him? I don't even know.
Parcells-like.
Exactly, Parcells. Yeah. But that's kind of the only comparison.
It's a little old school.
Yeah.
Rick Riley or Riley checking people's fat made me think of Sean Payton.
He would be more than willing to do that.
It's very old school. Like we were talking
about, you know, Cortland Sutton and all the trade rumors this offseason. You almost wonder if Sean just like walking up to him every day and just saying like, hey, getting some calls, like, better watch out. Like, that sort of stuff. Like, that's the kind of thing that Sean Payton would do if he thinks that there's any reason he would benefit from it. Like, if he thinks that kick Cortland in the ass a little bit, he would do it.
The ultimate motivator.
Yeah.
By any means necessary.
Manipulator motivator. Psycho motivator.
It's been interesting popping on these Buffs podcasts as I have this offseason and hearing all the stories about Coach Prime and the kind of culture they're establishing there. First off, there's a real like culture of transparency. You know, everything is filmed. Mm-hmm. Everything's being put out in the open.
It's a culture of acting.
Is it branding?
It's branding.
And that's where I think that's the interesting part of these college programs is there's a lot of like, there's a lot more branding and putting your, like, framing the narrative, which in the pros, I don't think people really give a shit about what the narrative is.
Well, you're so dependent on the coach to help and the ownership to help. And in college, that's like college basketball and football coaches are the stars.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So it's easier, I think, to do those things.
And the highest paid state employees. But no, with the Buffs, it's been really interesting because in some ways, maybe not the silliness that you're describing with Hackett, but I think that being friends with everyone, creating those relationships and bonds with the certainly with the coaching staff.
The thing is, like,
and the others at those higher up. Then I think there's more of a disciplinary relationship with the players.
But I feel like with the players, really we don't even know. Like, he was kind of just an asshole to all of the players, but he was just trying to be an asshole so that they'd all leave. And now that there's new players there, we'll see how he interacts with them. Like, it's just so new.
I think what we've seen is he doesn't bullshit. If he says something, it's true, and that's part of the roster turnover. He's not going to like be there and baby you. Like, if you're not his guy, he's ready to move on and has the means to do so. I think it's a pretty hard nose. Like, there's some transparency and communication there too. Like, if he says like, hey, this is what's expected, this is what's required, that's kind of a one-way street. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to say it, and then that's what happens. The way he's approached NILs has been very interesting, you know? Like, he's very, like, straightforward about that stuff, too. I think Coach Prime's a really interesting... What culture he's establishing is really interesting.
And he's also Parcells. Like, I'd imagine that's who he learned everything from.
It's great. I mean, that's a great coaching tree right there. Current Denver sports cultures, we've covered the Nuggets much. Is there anything we
I'm not close enough to them to know. I mean, I only know...
Exactly.
I think the Nuggets culture, it would be hard to beat. I don't really know what the Avs culture is like. You know, I think we'd have to ask the Avs guys. But I would guess Nuggets are either one or two, depending on that.
Yeah, you think.
And I think number four would be the Rockies.
Safe bet.
And so you kind of have a natural order. I mean, the Rockies, it's funny... Because the Broncos have always been the pearl of Denver, right? They've always been the one that every... And even as a franchise, they, in a lot of ways, to me, are like the Lakers in that they had a great owner that led them to this promised land, but then handing that off to the heirs hasn't quite gone the same way. And it's like, hey, you lost all... You maybe took for granted what it was. Like, oh, no, we'll survive. Right. Actually, it's really important.
Right.
But the Rockies now, with the Cronkies, we just gave them some love earlier and... If they deliver two championships from two different teams in one city in 2 years, that's incredible.
Yeah.
You now start to look at the Rockies and go, my God, that's the one. We
start
to have rotating ugly ducklings. Now there's one ugly duckling. It's the Rockies.
Well, I remember, I think I might have even said this on this podcast recently, but it was only 5-6 years ago. I remember saying, wow, the Avs are about to go into their golden age. The Nuggets have Jokic, who's just starting to turn into like a real thing. The Rockies at that point had Arenado and Story and Charlie Black. Like, all three of those teams looked like they were totally ready to just keep building on their way to this point. Avs and Nuggets did it. Rockies, Like, I don't even know what to say about them at this point. Like, they're just bad, and they're not going to get any better. And that's culture.
The brand's bad. The culture's not really there.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah. And the just their, like, team-building philosophy is undefinable because they're just... They are doing the opposite of maximizing resources at every turn. They're minimizing resources at every turn.
And it's not like they have a lot of resources to start with.
Right. It's it's kind of nuts. That's a great point of they were right there with Avs and Nuggets and like, oh, I can see a trajectory here.
And the best story of their culture, I mean, the Athletic put out that big expose thing on them 2 years ago now, 2 years ago. I guess it would have been after the pandemic because one of the things they had in there was that they had like whatever 11 people on their their
laundry and analytics.
They had the analytics guys. They had them during the pandemic. They wanted to cut costs, so they had those guys go do the laundry. Guess what? They all quit at the end of the season. And they're the same guys who... When Jeff Breidich, the GM, went in there and said, hey, I want to look at first baseman. Who should we get? Like, here's a couple of names we're looking at. They said, just don't get Ian Desmond. Like, he's never played first base. He can't do it. What does Jeff Breidich do? Goes and gets Ian Desmond. Gives him way too much money. They must be off his money now. But that's another one where you can't afford to be blowing $20 million a year on a player who did nothing. He did nothing for the Rockies. And that's, again, that's just the analytics dysfunction that happened.
Yeah. I think that's a fair rankings. It's Avs Nugs 1-2, Broncos on the branding and the hopes of Sean Payton slotted
early,
in on three.
Exactly.
It's impossible to know.
New quarterback, coach. Yeah. Russell Wilson, the first year didn't go so well, but again, the three have to be aligned. They weren't for him last year. Maybe they are for him this year. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's where, like, I mean, normally I'd say, it's just too early to really rank them. Except that you have the Nuggets and the Avs. Obviously, those two are way at the top of any sports team in the country.
Right.
You have the Rockies. They're way at the bottom. It's like, I know where the Broncos fit in here.
Yeah, they're three.
Yeah. Yep.
So true. This summer, it's patio season and house beer bucket specials at Illegal Pete's. I think that might be the play for dinner tonight. Going down to Pete's down the street. Yep. Ooh. How many times are you having lunch at Pete's, Adam?
1.5, I'd say, a week.
What's the go-to these days?
Oh, I get the bowl every single time. And I get the queso, chips and queso as well. So just chicken bowl, but the queso is what makes it.
Reverse nachos have really been a go-to, though. Man, I'm a sucker for some Takis.
I always get we go before basically every Nuggets game because the ticket deal, you show them a ticket, you get a free marg with an entree.
I always get
the quesadilla. Because the bowl and all that stuff is just so big.
It is too heavy. You're right. That's
exactly.
A smart move.
So you just get the KC and the Marg. Yeah. Well, the real veteran move. So my parents were down here for
coming
game 2. We went to dinner first, but after the game, went to Pete's to get the free Marg and a post-game quesadilla. Post-game quesadilla is very good.
That's the spot. Yeah. The spot is at Pete's. We're right now super long happy hour from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. every day at all 12 locations. So endless hours of fun and great discounts. There's no better way to kick off summer. Check out the old patio and don't forget to stop by Pete's on Nuggets game days with your Nuggets gear and grab a house mark or draft beer for free with the purchase of an adult entree. Let's go Nuggets. Let's go Pete's. Step up time, baby. Before we get into a little game four stuff, this will be a surprise to you both because I didn't mention it, but old Nuggets you would most like to see back at ball for this finals run. This came about because we saw George Karl hyping up and tweeting about the professor, Andre Miller, one of my all-time favorites. Definitely Dr. Dre, the professor, Dre Miller, tippy top of my list.
Is it just the name?
The amazing point guard. I love that two-man point guard rotation of him and Ty Lawson and how they'd balance each other. Sometimes Dre with Ty Lawson, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard you talk up Boris Diaw. I think of Dre Miller the way I think you think of Boris Diaw.
Andre Miller I think of that way as well.
Yeah,
like he's
sick,
one of my
favorite.
I was just teasing you. It's a great call. Also,
so fun.
He'll be around because he's a coach. He coached the gold team this year, so he'll be around for sure. Right.
There you go. I mean, a bright basketball mind should still be around the game like that.
Did
we
you
need
see
it.
Early at training camp when I said, what's your impression of Andre Miller's coaching style? And he goes, hey, man, He did an actual impression of it. And I was like, oh my God.
That is good.
That is amazing. Wow. I love that so much.
Like, I don't know. Mine's all from like that similar era.
Yeah.
Like some of them, like Ty Lawson, it's kind of like, it's like a weird terms thing.
Yeah.
But like, I loved him. And so if he came back, like, I would be screaming and cheering. I would love to see Ty Lawson. Like, Camby, Nene, either one of those guys. Like, those are just my childhood. Kenyon Martin. Yeah. It's another one with, like, the George Carl thing. Not going to happen. Like, J.R. Smith's another one of those guys. Like, that, the Thuggets were, what, when I was, like, 9 to 11-ish?
Yeah.
So, like, that's my team. All those guys.
Well, we got you with some deep cuts from the mid-2000s, Adam.
I know. I love it. Yeah.
Take us to another era. Yeah.
That's like everybody our generation. That's like everybody's favorite era. So I get why everybody goes to that well. I mean, we've already seen him. David Thompson was here at this very bar, man. So Alex English as well. Fat Lever. Like, these guys, those are the big ones for me.
Nene's a fun shout-out.
Nene's definitely a good one. You know, past that, the one that I think is the best and the easiest is Chauncey, but he's a current coach.
Yeah.
So, and I thought there was a real chance that Portland might fire him or this or that. And I was almost like, you almost wish, because I want him to be here, but I don't think he could come. He's a rival, division rival.
And what's really crazy is
he can't,
like, before, like a year ago, if you saw a Nuggets jersey on the street, 50-50 chance. It's like, it's the
powder blue.
It's no, the rainbow. The Rainbow Matumbo.
Yeah.
Because, like, that just turned into, like, a culture. Maybe not even in Denver.
No, it was like, it was like, it's weird the things that become, like, Foot Locker, where it's like, if we're going to do a Nuggets thing, it's going to be what? And then, the Rainbow Matumbo.
The Matumbo. But, again, like, we've thrown out 20 names, and Matumbo isn't even one of them. Which, like, I would love to see him. He's not really a Nugget, though.
That's the thing. Is Matumbo a Nugget fully? I don't know. LaPhonso Ellis has been around, which has been great.
Yeah,
great. I do think, my whole thing is, I just wish it was all of them, and I wish the Nuggets, as an entity, were spending more of their time telling the history of the Nuggets. Yeah. Eric always says they feel like a 50-year expansion team.
That's so true.
Like, they're an expansion team that's been around here for 50 years.
So true.
They're an ABA team. Tell that history.
Once you, I don't know, once you win one, if they win, hopefully at some point they win one, I feel like that just, all the sins are gone. Like, you're now an established team.
Right.
I think it's a lot easier to embrace it, because otherwise, I don't know, people never respected the Nuggets. Like, they were always like, oh, okay, Denver, whatever. The Nuggets, it's a funny name, whatever. As soon as you win one, all of a sudden you get to, they should have been embracing it. Now they can really embrace it.
People have Monte Morris, Gary Harris. I would throw those guys in. Mike Miller. Like, Lonzo. The guys, Paul Millsap.
Great.
I would love to see.
Those are all great.
To me, like, it's even more, be nice to have those guys there. And a little, again, game five's in Denver. Denver wins tonight. That could be the closeout.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For those guys to get to be, it's weird because I know you can't be a part of the actual parade, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to be able to share a moment or two. I think that would be cool.
McDice was a fun one that AJ put out there in the chat. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about any coaches, though. We've mentioned George Karl.
Doug Moe's too old to come back. Like, he came back for the Matumbo jersey thing 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I remember talking to some people, and they're like, yeah, this is a really hard trip on him. Like, the altitude. Yeah, right, he's old, man.
Yeah.
But I would love
Larry
to see
Brown.
Him. Larry Brown. I wonder if he considers himself a Nugget. You know, like,
I know.
What do you think of Larry Brown?
Yeah. He's everybody.
Is he a Piston?
Yeah, definitely.
He's a Piston?
I mean, I hardly remember him as a Nugget, you know? Like, that's right at the early stage of my Nuggets
like
fandom.
Like Bobby Jones. My grandma used to bowl with Bobby Jones's wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
But he's not really a Nugget.
Like a one-year Nugget or two-year Nugget?
Like three, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've kind of covered the guys. Like, that's
I wonder what our worst omission was. I'm sure there's one that people are saying, like, how could you not say that?
I mean, is J.R. Smith coming?
I mentioned it.
But is he coming?
But no.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And again, like, and he probably
Carmelo,
shouldn't.
It's like, it's not the right time for that.
I know.
Which is sad because I don't know. I've been warming up to Melo in the last, like, week or so.
Really? The last week?
Yeah, we're just like, you know what?
Oh, my God. What happened this week? Did I miss something?
I've kind of, I'm getting over it because the Nuggets are doing this. Like, I was just watching some Melo highlights, and I was like, I have never done this before because I've hated him so much for so long. Like, I do think that there's a real part of me that if the Nuggets pull it off, I'm going to be saying, you know what? I loved Melo when I was a kid. Sure, he did what he did, and I hate him for it. But, like, maybe I can forgive him and get over that. But right now, I don't want to see him in a game because it hasn't happened.
I've truly treated him like an ex.
Oh, yeah,
like
definitely.
Like, 1,000%. It's just like, hey, I've moved on. I'm not trying to revisit that part of my life. Yeah, I just am not.
You didn't want us, so F you.
Adam, this is where Henry and I get to give some Nuggets takes. But before that, how do you see game four playing out?
Hey, look, man, Denver has a chance. I think they're the better team. You already won one on the road. Can you really expect two? I think you can, because I think the Nuggets are that much better. Yeah. It's going to be a dogfight tonight, I think, is probably, as weird to say, the closest game yet, because it was a three-point game in game two. But that game wasn't actually as close. It was wild swings. Wild runs. Yep. I think this one might be more of a, it's tense in the first quarter, it's tense in the second, it's tense in the third, and it's tense in the fourth. But yeah. I think Nuggets win.
I think last time I was on TDSP, I think I said the Nuggets might have to win two games without scoring 100 points.
They had
that one where it was 104, and that's as close as I came. So I agree. If they're just due for one of those, grind it out. I think that means it's a big yoke night. You just go to the paint over and over and over again. I also think, I mean, it's game four of the NBA Finals. If it's not a yoke night, when is?
Right now. They're all yoke nights.
But yeah, I mean, that defense, because they were so bad in what game two, I feel like they're going to be locked in the rest of the game, the Nuggets defense, or for the rest of the series. So I trust them.
I think that's a good read. I think the shooting comes around for both teams. I think maybe a little more high scoring than you're giving it credit for, Henry.
Okay.
I think it'll be a wild game of runs. I like your take, Adam. That'll be a closer game. And I really think MPJ has some impact and gets himself a double-double and at least in double figures points-wise.
All right. I don't know about it. I don't know if this is the game they correct. I think MPJ has a big game five if they win tonight. I don't know. I think he plays 25 minutes. I think they go to the other guys because I think the matchup calls for it a little bit more. But he's still going to get open shots. Does he make them tonight? I wouldn't be surprised if he goes like 2 of 5 tonight from three, which is his average. So it's neither good nor bad, and it's not high or low volume. It's just like, all right, it's standard issue MPJ got night.
I'll take the over on 2 of 5. I'm not sure what it looks like. I'll take something better than that, though.
Okay, I like it. Is that the final prediction, Nuggets in five?
Nuggets of 5 was my prediction. I'll stick with it. I mean, again, I have a lot of respect for the Heat. I just think they make it hard. But you win tonight. Well, I'm going to spend the weekend planning my my Monday.
Oh, boy.
Can't not wait. Thank you to the homies at Breckenridge Brewery and their Avalanche Amber for presenting this here show. Check out Game Time and all our other great sponsors. Check out DNVR Locker. Great sales going on right now all the way through Father's Day. Best gear for any Denver sports fan in your life. Don't have to be a father, just amazing gear at great prices to hook them up, especially during this playoff run. Get in on all those deals. Thank you to super producer Alyssa. Tune in to all our Nuggets stuff coming up all evening. Go Nuggets. Thanks, fellas, for doing this. Have a great weekend.